You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week one of our series, Holy Habits, Small Disciplines, Big Results. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
My wife Erica and I are constantly making goals for ourselves when it comes to disciplines in our lives that we want to develop. It might be health and fitness and diet related. It might be finance related, you know, somehow having to do with how we're spending money for a certain stretch. It might be faith related, as that's an important part of our lives together. And honestly, it's a lot of really different stuff at different times of the year and at various points in our lives. And here's what I can tell you about all the goals that we set and all the disciplines that we try to develop. Here's what I can tell you. 60% of the time, we are successful every single time. Okay, now in case that went over some of your heads a little bit, or in case you thought I was like bragging there, let me repeat that. 60% of the time, I find us to be successful every single time. In other words, we don't always have the greatest track record. And I wonder if any of you would ever say the same thing. When it comes to eating better or working out more or creating a budget or communicating better or praying more or reading your Bible more, I wonder how many of you too would say, yeah, 60% of the time you're successful. Every time. I have a hunch that many of you know that feeling when it comes to some of the goals that you have set for yourself, right? Not as successful as often as you would like. And here's why this catches my attention right now. Fall is just around the corner, right? And it is a time when we start to decide, almost subconsciously, we start to decide what's important in our lives and what our priorities are going to be as a new year sets into place. Come fall, new rhythms and new routines start to settle into place. And so when I think about it, now is the time. Now is the time to build into our lives some of the habits that will help us to become who it is that we desire to be. And now is the time to start to put into practice what we think is best so that when fall does arrive, the things that we want to be included in our life will be there, right? When fall does arrive, our schedule and our calendar and our to-do list won't fill up with everything other than what we want to be about. That's why we are beginning a brand new message series today called Holy Habits. For the next month, we want to help you to develop some disciplines in your life that very well could help produce big results. That's what this series is all about. We want to help you to develop some small disciplines that very well could produce big results in your life and, more importantly, in your faith. The Bible honestly doesn't talk a great deal about habits specifically. If I'm being honest with you, God did not follow up the Ten Commandments with the 10 most important habits for Jesus' followers. But the Bible is still pretty clear about the importance of making certain principles and practices and disciplines regular in our life. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the author, who is a guy by the name of Paul, he encourages his readers like this. He says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up," right? Making a habit out of doing what is good and what is right and what is best for us, it's not always easy. I know that, you know that, and I think that's why an encouragement like this from this guy, Paul, I think that's why an encouragement like that is necessary. He's saying, don't give up. I know it's not easy, right? Keep at it and don't let yourself get tired of doing what you know you want to be doing. Friends, I believe this, that the consistency with which we pursue what is good, right? That the habits that we build into our lives, I think will determine, right? The consistency with which we pursue those kind of habits, that kind of good in our life, I think will determine the quality of the life that we live and the state of our faith as Jesus followers. And so today, as we begin this brand new series, I want to suggest to you a principle that could be the difference maker regarding some of the progress that you'd like to make in your life and in your faith. If there's any area in your life, if there's any discipline that you would admit, yeah, it's only 60% of the time that I'm actually successful every time, then there's a habit that I think could help close the gap. And so that's the habit that I want to suggest to you today as we kick off this series, Holy Habits. And it's a habit that I want to suggest that I think could be really helpful to set the stage too for all of the other habits that we will discuss throughout this month. Now, today's habit, I will admit, it's a little non-traditional. It's not one that you would typically find in a list of everyday habits or of spiritual disciplines, but I think it could be the missing piece. I really do. I think it could be the missing piece to the progress that you would like to make in your life, or most importantly, the progress that you might want to make in your faith. And I think it's an overall discipline or choice or mentality that if you embrace it, it very well could impact all the other habits that we introduce to you in this series. And so here's the habit. Here's the discipline that I am asking you to consider to begin developing in you today. Here it is, right here. Being uncomfortable. Being uncomfortable, right? Choosing discomfort in your everyday life. I told you that it's a little atypical. I told you that it's an atypical piece of spiritual advice, but hang with me here. I think that you and I need to do more things in our everyday life that make us a little more uncomfortable a little more often. And I don't, by saying this, by suggesting discomfort, by saying that, I don't mean that we should all, you know, invest in crappy mattresses and worn out pillows and cheap cushions, you know, within couch cushions. That's not the kind of discomfort that I'm talking about. What I am saying is that when it comes to life and when it comes to faith and all of the things that we do and all of the choices that we make and all the goals that we set and all the activities that we pursue and the disciplines that we want to develop, we need to choose to do things that are harder than we would prefer, and that make us just a little bit or maybe quite a bit uncomfortable. I got most interested in this whole idea of pursuing discomfort, of being uncomfortable. I got most interested in this whole idea recently when I got introduced to a guy named Gary Brecka. He's a human biologist with over 20 years of experience in biohacking and functional medicine. His extensive knowledge in this world even led him for a time to work with life insurance companies where he could predict sometimes to the month people's life expectancy based on a few different sets of health data. And he gave a definition, right? As in the course of his work, you know, talking about life and life expectancy, he gave a definition of aging. Which his, you know, in his industry, and really even outside of the industry, I think everyone wants to get to the bottom. Everyone wants to know how to, you know, slow down the aging process. How do we stay, you know, young and healthy and fit and vibrant? And so he is famous for, he's kind of become well known for having defined, based on his study and based on his research and based on his experience, he became famous for having defined aging like this. He says that aging is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. Hashtag, ouch, is how we should be responding to that, right? Aging is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. That's a sobering thought. It highlights how we as a society have made comfort one of our highest values, one of our top priorities, okay? By contrast, one of the things that Gary does is that he encourages people to do hard things in everyday life, right? The things that make you uncomfortable, that challenge your body and your mind to push to new heights because of the numerous benefits that you would experience in the process. This challenge of choosing to be uncomfortable is good for you. The discomfort is actually beneficial. It's one of the reasons that Gary Brecka is a huge proponent of cold plunges. How many of you are familiar with the growing popularity or trend of cold plunges? I see a few hands going up. It's the cold plunge or the ice bath. Have you seen this? Okay, it's people who willingly sit in a bath of ice water of like 50 degrees or less for a few minutes at a time. You heard of this? Okay, I remember hearing about this for the first time. It was a couple years ago, and I'll be honest, I felt like it was, you know, like for crazy people. Okay, like really intense, maybe a couple screws loose, like really kind of like out there people. I'm going like, hey, you want to sit in a giant bathtub of ice cubes? Like, yeah, more power to you. Okay, and then here's what happened. Friends of mine, like not crazy, couple screws loose kind of people, they started doing this. Like normal, everyday people that I knew and that I liked, they started doing this kind of thing. And I would hear about them, you know, they would start there. I heard about them turning the water to cold for the last few minutes of the shower, which I've started to do, by the way, okay? And then I'd hear, and I even see at their houses, the cold water tanks that they spent their hard-earned money on. Okay, they would buy the cold water tanks and bring it to the house, and they take ice baths for a couple minutes every day. Okay, the more I started to read about cold plunges, you gotta hang with me here. The more I started to read about cold plunges, the more I started learning about the incredible benefits of this kind of extreme and this kind of intentional discomfort. I started to realize the benefits are incredible. Okay, you might be familiar with athletes taking ice baths after the big game to help reduce inflammation, but I guess that's only like 15% of the benefit of a cold plunge or an ice bath. From what I understand, when you take an ice bath like this, you intentionally activate your sympathetic nervous system, or what we kind of refer to as the fight or flight response system of our bodies. You're intentionally kind of activating the fight or flight response system of the body. And so what happens in this moment is shock proteins are released into our bodies and our bloodstream to save our lives when we're dumped into cold water. So this is what you are simulating, with the cold plunge. Okay, the response of the body creates what is called peripheral vasoconstriction, which you do not have to remember that, okay? But in this moment of intense stress and anxiety, what happens is oxygen and blood are driven to your core, and then more importantly, forced up to your brain. At the same time, cortisol and adrenaline and norepinephrine are released into your body, which helps regulate your body's response to stress. It increases your heart rate and the levels of blood pumping from your heart, and they break down fat and they increase sugar levels to provide more energy that you need in what your body's perceived to be a moment of great need. And so all of this activity that's happening, the vasoconstriction, the chemicals going to break up, all of this activity is incredibly good, incredibly beneficial, incredibly healthy for your body, all created by an intentional decision to do something very unnatural and very uncomfortable. Now, I've got a confession to make here. I'm not a human biologist. I'm not real adept in the area of functional medicine. And I am a giant wimp when it comes to the idea of sitting in a big giant bath of ice water. And on top of that, I know full well, I know that you all didn't come here today to get my take on peripheral vasoconstriction and the release of norepinephrine into your brain. I know that you did not come here for that today, to hear from me. But darn it, I think there is something for us to learn here in a spiritual sense. And here's what I'm fascinated by. Here's what I love to discover. I love when God's word, that's scripture, that was written to us, it was written for us a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, okay? I love when scripture seems to affirm and point to and highlight and kind of provide the foundation for or the baseline for even so much of what we're learning today in the world of science or biology or fill in the blank. And when I think about our aggressive pursuit of comfort, and when I think about the benefits that I'm kind of reading here about discomfort, I can't help but think about the wisdom of the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The Old Testament book of Proverbs is a collection of wisdom sayings from the wisest man who ever walked the earth. And look what he says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Here's what it says. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Okay? All hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. He said, all hard work is profitable. There is a benefit to doing hard things. The book of Proverbs, you may or may not know this, the book of Proverbs was recorded originally in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word, this is fascinating to me, the Hebrew word for hard work is literally translated as painful toil. Painful toil. And apparently, painful toil is profitable. It's good for you. Okay, folks, I don't know about you, but painful toil seems like a really fitting description of the decision to sit in a giant bath of ice water, doesn't it? Okay, I'm not trying to bring this back around to the cold water plunge here. But I'm going, man, it seems like there might be something going on here. It seems like this might be something worth paying attention to, right? It's the exact opposite of natural and of comfortable, and yet it is so very, very good and stimulating and life-saving even for our body and for our mind. Friends, here's what I'm thinking. Okay. We have to do unnatural and uncomfortable things in other areas of our lives that we care about. See, I think the same principle that is at play here physically, I think it could be the key to some of the results that we want to see spiritually in our lives. Painful toil. Right? Intentional challenges, right? You and I willingly choosing to do something unnatural and uncomfortable, I think is what is going to make the difference for some of the change that we want to see in our life and some of the change and some of the growth and some of the progress we want to see in our faith. One Bible scholar, as I was reading more about this one verse from Proverbs, one Bible scholar says that this one verse is a rebuke, right? Kind of a scolding in a way on people who are always talking and planning but never accomplishing anything. He says a rebuke on people who are always talking and planning but never accomplishing anything. Know anyone like that? Would you be willing to admit that you are sometimes like that? You've got goals for yourself. Yeah, I'm gonna get healthier this year. I'm gonna save more money this year. I'm gonna work on my marriage this year. I'm gonna take the business to the next level this year. I'm gonna be a better parent this year. I'm gonna grow closer to God this year. And that's all great stuff. Great goals. Yet sadly for many of us, it seems that it's only 60% of the time that we accomplish this stuff every time. A lot of times it's just kind of talk. It's well-intentioned talk about stuff that we really would like to see, but it ends up being lip service nonetheless. And this verse is calling us out. Painful toil is the X factor when it comes to progress, when it comes to the kind of change that we might want to experience intentionally intentionally and willingly putting ourselves into unnatural and uncomfortable situations. I think it's what makes the difference. And so here's what I think all of this put together is hinting at, if we just kind of boiled it down. Here's what I think all of this is hinting at, that it's hard to remain unchanged when we challenge ourselves to do what is uncomfortable. Any area of our life, think about that. It's hard to remain unchanged when we challenge ourselves to do what is uncomfortable. It's hard to remain unchanged for the better. It's hard to remain unchanged physically. It's hard to remain unchanged emotionally or relationally. It's hard to remain unchanged spiritually when we challenge ourselves to do what is uncomfortable. It's painful toil. See, here's the deal. A lot of us, I know this to be true. I put myself in the same category. A lot of us are not changing for the better in areas of our lives that we'd like to see growth and progress because we avoid discomfort like the Black Plague. In today's society, you better believe we will do anything to avoid being uncomfortable. Okay, and so we never step outside of our comfort zone, and then we wonder why we're not seeing the results that we want to see. Never would we do something intentionally to make ourselves uncomfortable, and we kind of wonder like, why aren't I moving in the right direction on this? Look, folks, I feel this too. I get it. It's hard to do hard things, but when we don't, here's what's happening. We are training ourselves to be a version of ourselves that we do not want to be. Okay, there's a psychologist that I saw a little video of his online. His name's Jordan Peterson. He put it like this. He says, don't practice what you don't want to become. Don't practice what you don't want to become. He says, this was the video that I watched. He says that when we have a hard thing to do, our brain starts looking for something else to do that's still productive, but it's not that hard thing. Okay, I know you all know this because this is for me too. So when there's something hard to do that we know is on our to-do list, that's the moment we're all of a sudden like, oh, maybe I should vacuum, you know? Oh, maybe I should do the dishes today. Oh, maybe I should go do this other thing on my to-do list. When there's something hard to do, we'll look for something else to do that still feels productive, that we can still feel good about. And then he says, if we're really sneaky, and this rang my bell, he says, if we're really sneaky, we'll do something still hard, but just a little less hard. Okay, then the thing, this is like real stuff happening, brain activity. He says, we'll do something still hard, but not as hard as the thing that we know that we need to do so we can still feel good about what we did. And when we do even that less hard thing, our brain gets a drop of dopamine that says, that felt good. Okay, and so we're practicing and we're rewarding behavior that we know is not ultimately what we wanted to do. Our brain is rewarding the more comfortable choice, right? We're practicing what we do not want to become. And we can't do that when it comes to the more important areas of our life. We cannot do that when it comes to our spiritual lives. And so here's my encouragement to you today as we talk about making a habit out of choosing to be uncomfortable. So we set out on this month-long journey through this series. Here's my encouragement to you. Pursue the challenge that will produce the change. Okay? Pursue the challenge that's going to produce the change. Some of you want to go grow closer with your spouse. That's a great deal. You want to go closer with your spouse. Well, guess what? Okay, that doesn't happen just because you want it to happen. That doesn't happen just because, you know, on a romantic day, you acknowledged your new intention to your spouse, that you're really ready to strengthen your bond. If this is gonna happen, you might have to do something uncomfortable. Fellas, listen up here. You might have to, if you wanna strengthen this deal, I don't know, this is just one example, you might have to verbally string together multiple words into what we refer to as a complete sentence, okay, that would communicate to your wife out here what in the world is going on in here, okay? You might have to do it, more than once. You might have to do it a lot. You might have to make a habit out of it. It's scary, isn't it, gentlemen? You're getting uncomfortable already, aren't you? I get it. But you got to pursue the challenge that's going to produce the change. While we're still talking about marriage, for those of you that applies, right? Some of you, and I know this, you talk to me about this. You want to strengthen the spiritual bond in your marriage. That's an amazing goal to have. That's an amazing discipline to strive for. And there's a lot of good stuff that you could do together. You read the same book, and you could do the same Bible app devotional. There's bazillions of them out there, and that's all great stuff. But can I tell you what is probably most uncomfortable but most profitable? Pray together. Out loud. In the same room. In front of each other. With each other. For each other. Over each other every day. Some of you are getting sweaty palms and dry mouths, just starting to think about the notion. Makes you uncomfortable. I'd say good. It might be uncomfortable, but that's the point. Pursue the kind of challenge that has the opportunity to produce the kind of change that you want, right? Some of you might just need to start reading the Bible regularly, and that feels hard, right? Because a lot of times the Bible's confusing, and a lot of times it doesn't make a lot of sense, and for some of you, it doesn't feel very productive, and the combination of all that, it makes that moment just feel kind of uncomfortable, so you don't make time for it. It might be the very thing that makes you uncomfortable that's going to make the difference in you, right? For some of you students in the room, right, you're going, man, I want to have more influence in this world, and I want to make a difference in this world. It might mean you got to do something uncomfortable in the hallways at school. It might mean you got to speak up about the faith that you have. It might mean that you're the only one. It doesn't get any more uncomfortable than being the only one on the outside of a group of school. It might mean you're the only one that's saying no and everybody else is saying yes, right? You gotta pursue the challenge that's gonna produce the change. Some of you, I don't know, you might need to express greater levels of generosity in your everyday life. You might need to commit to giving back to God more in greater ways that truly make you uncomfortable, so that God has the opportunity to show you that He will still be faithful. You want your faith in God to grow? Then get uncomfortable somewhere and watch God at work. Some of you might need to give back of your time in the community with an organization that you care about. Some of you might need to serve on a team here, or join a group here, or open up to someone new, or be the one to go first, like you heard PJ talking about, when it comes to some of the kind of change that you might like to see with your friends or with your family. You got to pursue the challenge that's going to produce the change. Mid-Current Church, I don't know what it is for you, but we cannot develop any of the holy habits that we're going to talk about for the next month unless we are willing to embrace and even to choose regularly a little bit of holy discomfort. The moments where God is molding us and forging us in the fire into the people that He desires us to be. So then, right? Let's all of us together, right? Let's be a church standing side by side, arm in arm, right? Let's hold each other accountable, right? Let's be there to do this together. Let's be a church full of people who intentionally and regularly, daily even, choose to do challenging and unnatural and uncomfortable things in the areas of our lives that matter most. Let's do unnatural and uncomfortable things so that the spiritual equivalence of cortisol and adrenaline would come flooding into our hearts and our souls when we choose to do some of the things outside of our comfort zone. Now, here's a spoiler alert. I just made up the idea of the spiritual versions of cortisol and adrenaline. But some might say that in these moments, it is the Holy Spirit flooding into our lives. In these moments of discomfort, some might say it is the Holy Spirit flooding into our hearts and into our souls, into our relationships, into our families, into our marriages. Some might say it is the Holy Spirit flooding into our hearts when we pursue the things that God desires the most. And that is going to be my prayer for you and for me. Let me close right now with that very prayer. God, we are kind of in a moment now and just, you know, kind of subconsciously we're getting ready to settle into the fall rhythms and the fall routines, and we're about ready to, you know, kind of start just doing the things the way we do day in and day out, week in, week out. God, we're about to kind of settle into how we're gonna do our thing. And so I'm asking you, God, to help us examine our own hearts, God, examine our own lives. God, would you help us to think about some of the goals that we might have for our life, and most importantly, for our faith, God? And would you help us to see the opportunities that are in front of us, God? We don't want them to pass us by. We don't want the opportunity to be in front of us and we kind of dodged it, God. So would you help us to see the opportunities in front of us that might be the ones that feel, you know, unnatural, God, might be the ones that feel very uncomfortable, but that might be the ones that could make all of the difference. God, would you help us to see, to spot, to identify those places, God, on a daily basis when we have the opportunity to step into it? God, help us to see those moments and those opportunities, first of all, God. And number two, would you help us and would you give us, God, the strength to step into them? God, we don't have the strength on our own. If it's up to us, man, we're gonna, you know, it ain't gonna happen. We ain't gonna pull it off. So God, would you give us the strength when we spot the moment, when we see the opportunity, God, that we think, man, this is gonna not feel good, but I think it's what I need to do. Would you give us the strength, God, to step into that moment, God? Would you give us the strength and the courage to go first, to do the thing that's unnatural, God, to do the thing that's uncomfortable, to do the thing that no one else it seems to be doing, God? Would you help us to be the ones that do those things so that your Spirit might come flooding into our hearts and in our lives, God, forging us to be more of who you created us and who you designed us to be? God, help us to see those places and to be those people who make a habit of choosing to be uncomfortable, choosing to embrace some holy discomfort for the sake of what you might be doing inside of us. God, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person, at 9 and 10:30 a.m.